You're listening to WWBC Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Today, on the Word of Truth Revealed.
You can't adopt other people's stuff and apply it to your life like you earned it. That's why God is looking for designer originals. Unforgiveness makes us adopt other people's cultures, it's demonic now, and apply it like it's ours. Their hairstyle, their dress, how they speak, who they hang out with, or what they're preaching on the book. A lot of people are clicking like on preachers that saying, you can't trust nobody. See, they'll try to hurt you. Where's the healing agent though?
Celebrating 30 years of ministry, you're listening to The Word of Truth Revealed with Bishop Merton L. Clark, author, speaker, and lead pastor of Truth Revealed International Ministries, a spirit-filled fellowship of believers located in Palm Bay, Florida.
Join Bishop Clark for the message, Demonic Network of Unforgiveness. Today, Bishop will be teaching from Proverbs chapter 19, verses 10 through 13.
But if I could, oh my God, if I can preach somebody out of hell, I'll preach it out of hell. I'll preach hell out of you. I need to tell hell where to go. Hell needs to go to hell. Don't tell me to go to hell. The hell in you needs to go to hell. But I never came to a church with a man talk like that. I know that's why you got that stuff in your heart. But God is reaching deep into the heart. God is purging us from unforgiveness. Come on, shout, purge me with hyssop. Oh, my God. I need the kind of soap that simmers. I need peroxide in my heart. Y'all don't know about peroxide, but man, when you put peroxide on a wound, it's that thing just starts simmering on it. I can tell where your wounds are. I can just wash you with peroxide. Ooh. That's what the Holy Ghost does. He knows where to find the wound. He puts his holy blood on you, his favor. He can tell where you're leaking. Well, you need an RX. Can the church say amen? Amen. All I got is right there. That word right there is introduction. Now I'm going to do the introduction. I got a word in me. I got a word in me. Oh, my God. Introduction. We're living in strange, weird, bizarre, peculiar times, perilous times. That's what perilous means. Strange, weird, bizarre, peculiar times, perilous times. And one of the stranger things that was once considered a good thing. Some of the things that were considered good has now become a bad thing. There used to be a time where we can talk to each other and nobody took it personal. There used to be a time where if you were a friend, Scripture says, faithful are the wounds of a friend. That friends didn't just hang out with each other. They told each other when they felt like you're a little extra. Can you bump your neighbor and say, don't be extra. You're going too loud. You're doing too. This is what they say now. You're doing too much. You're doing too much now. You're doing too much. Will Smith, man, I'm feeling some kind of way. That's what he said in Hancock. It went around the world. I'm feeling some kind of way. You're doing too much. And this is what's happening. There used to be a time where people didn't say you're doing too much if you were a friend. There was a time when a friend can talk to you for 3 hours and you would listen. Now, any friend that tells you what you really need to hear flips out of the friendship column into the foe column. And a lot of people are not ready to hear what they need to hear like they give it. And what I mean by that is, there are people who walk up to folk and just tell them what they feel, but can't handle it if it was in reverse. I mean, not even a small amount. I say, do unto others as you will what? And I don't speak to people about their wrong unless I have an open heaven. In other words, there's a relationship there. Some of us just want to tell people what to do, but you got to have a relationship now. That's why I do the rebuking here at the church, and this is the culture. I'm the one that does a lot of the correcting. I'm not saying you can't speak to an issue. Speak truth to power, but it should be enveloped with love. People will take it from me more if I'm the bishop or the pastor, because they know I love them. I can even come back or come a little stern, and they'll still come back to church on Sunday. But when you say it, they ain't coming back no more. So let me do that. Just like in a house, fathers and mothers, let them do the correcting. Not sibling to sibling. In the military, man, the people that got the higher rank do the correcting. You ever been there? You know what I'm talking about? Well, this is the army of God. This is how we need to be. Write it down, cultural appropriation. Cultural appropriation. That is a misappropriation of culture. Cultural appropriation, or a misappropriation of culture. It is the practice of borrowing the best of one's culture when you didn't earn it and applying it to your life. Copying other cultures because you like it. But you didn't earn it. You're not a part of that tribe. You're not a part of that community. But you sit there, you're able to sample other people and what they do. Cultural misappropriation. And then apply what you like to your life as if it should fit. For instance, King David comes to the battlefield. He sees a giant. All he has is a sling and rocks. But Saul said, if you're going to fight the giant, you can take on my armor. When David tried to work with his armor, he says, it's slowing me down. Because I'm not a part of your army, neither was I trained in your fighting skills. I have a unique way of doing things. And I didn't earn your armor. I never went to boot camp. I never applied myself to your disciplines. So why would I walk around with your shield and your armor and I don't know how to work with it? I become the tin man on the battlefield. This is what's happening emotionally around the world. We don't know who we are. Unforgiveness stuns our growth. We get out there and we start taking what other people are doing and applying it to our life. And we are misappropriating the culture. And we say we're different, but no, you're not. You're just a piece of many different parts. Therefore, you don't even know it when somebody doesn't identify with your armor that you didn't earn. It creates another problem because they speak to it. And you get hurt after being hurt after being hurt. But really, it's because you're packed with other people's ideals. It's not even you. It's not genuine to you. Advertisers got you while you were high. While you were hanging out, you saw something you like and you appropriated it. Oh my God. It happens big time in the church culture. Because one church is doing it, we believe all churches should do it. But it's not true. Some churches are called to the prophetic. Some churches are called to faith. Some churches are called to people building. Well, I believe all churches should be called to people building. Some churches are called to build. That's what they want to do, always building buildings. Well, how many times did you build people? It's a whole different ministry. I'm looking at this phenomenon in our world today, and I can see how the enemy packs us up with stuff, wants us to wear things. Like some people believe if you're a prophet today, you need to be like John the Baptist. So you're going to go out there and kill the camel, take the hide from the camel and wear it. Like you're in the 21st century, but you want to pull something from the Old Testament and New Testament. Because I'm like John the Baptist or Elijah and want to grow dreadlocks and act like you're Elijah in the Old Testament. Well, he wore camel's hair inside out. And if you ever been around a camel, first of all, they smell. And in America, you can't be no prophet and have a scent. I wouldn't come to your meeting. You can't run to your meeting anyway. You better drive up in a car. The camel's hair worn inside out is a representation of afflicting oneself with pain. So you want to do and copy people, but you don't know why. He afflicted his own body so he would stay on the cutting edge. You want the prophetic, but you want luxury. It is not fitting for a fool to live in luxury. Yeah. Oh my God. So you want to go on cruises and you want to make sure you're doing this and that. You want to hang out. But what are you doing with your luxury? Are you foolish? How do you spend your money? And if you get rid of unforgiveness, you'll conserve more money. Some people buy themselves happiness. When you forgive, you don't have to spend the money. You're like the Beatles. Let it be. Let it be. Let it be. Let it be. You got to hear these words of wisdom. Let it be. You can't adopt other people's stuff and apply it to your life like you earned it. That's why God is looking for designer originals. Unforgiveness makes us adopt other people's cultures, it's demonic now, and apply it like it's ours. Their hairstyle, their dress, how they speak, who they hang out with, or what they're preaching on the book. A lot of people are clicking like on preachers that's saying, you can't trust nobody. See, they'll try to hurt you. Where's the healing agent, though? I already know I can't trust nobody. I trust God. But I have to learn to trust. And trust is the offspring of time and integrity. Over a period of time, you should be able to trust people. You can't live your life not trusting anybody. Because your distrust is more damaging than betrayal. Nothing can come in and nothing can get out. In Matthew 18, I shared it last week in verse 31. And the Bible says, so when the fellow servants saw what was done, and that is a man that was forgiven of 34 tons of problems, turned around and the person that owed him 4,000 pounds 4,000 denarii, not even pounds. He choked them out. Now, he was forgiven of 375 tons of problems, but couldn't find it within himself to forgive for 4,000 denarii. And this is how most people operate. Like, I shared my own story of saying something that I shouldn't have said when I was 13. And I wasn't the kind of person that did that every day. I don't think in my lifetime I've ever made fun of anybody. I have laughed, but not at the person. Like if I see something on television, right? But I'm not the kind of person, or wasn't the kind of kid, that walked around and just pointed at people and laughed. This was a one-time thing. And I'm not declaring perfection. I'm just saying it wasn't my nature to go around hurting people. But I saw something and I spoke what I saw. And the wisdom comes patience, and also the ability to control your tongue. I grieved over that for years because I saw the mother's face. So I shared mine, right? I know all of us have done some things that we shouldn't have done. You don't have to tell me. I already know if you're human. If you come to a church and you're perfect, well, you think you're perfect. Well, you just spoiled us. Well, none of us are perfect. We have to deal with each other. But honestly, I try, according to the word now, and I'm asking you to try, to release people of offenses. All of us should try to do that. When the fellow servants saw that what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after he had called him, said to him, O thou wicked servant. He called him wicked because I forgave you of a major debt. When it's time for you to forgive, what did you do? You choked the person out. I ain't letting it go. I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Verse 33. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on my fellow servant, on thy fellow servant, even as I had paid a pity on thee? Amen. Now, if God forgave us, in other words, say for instance, if you robbed the store and he forgave you of it, and somebody happens to take some bubble gum out of your hand and you didn't see it, or off of your table, but you robbed the store, you gonna kill them over that? This is what's happening. If you talked about 10,000 people and somebody talk about you, can you forgive them? I like verse 34. And his Lord was angry or wroth and delivered him to what? He delivered him to the tormentors. Now, man, he delivered him to the network of tormentors. That's mentally, psychologically, and emotionally. There is no peace with unforgiveness. Now, the King James says tormentor. That's something that antagonizes you constantly. Deprive you of sleep, rest, peace, heightens anxiety. The Lord turned him over to tormentors. I'm just going to give you a mild version. That is, bill collectors that never stop ringing your phone. And when you change your number, they find you anyway. And when you block them, they use somebody else's number. Just like some ladies or some men do. Like if you try to get rid of them, they'll call you from somebody else's number. said, my heavenly Father will do the same thing unto you if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone of his brother, everyone his brother their trespasses. In other words, you'll be turned over to the tormentor. This is very dangerous, and I don't have time to go deep into it, but it's a network of dysfunction, and it's spawned by the devil himself. The Bible says when we don't obey God, he will turn us over unto our own lust. This is dangerous when God turns you over. In other words, do whatever you want, and I'm not going to bother you. Because we do more damage to ourselves than any demon. The Bible says a child left alone will bring mother to shame. So you by yourself, you'll do more damage. What you start watching on your phone, if nobody checks you out, what you start watching, the movies that you watch and you think it doesn't affect you, the pornography that's going off the charts, and we wonder why there's promiscuity. Kids, young people, men, women are bound with the network of tormentors. You think it's pleasure, but it's killing you every time. It eats away. And when you hide it, you become callous. And when you hide it, you become callous. So callous that while I'm preaching, the Holy Spirit can be here and you'll sit there. Oh, my God. You'll come to church and sit there or have a conversation going on while you should be tuning in with your spirit. Nothing touches you. Nothing touches you. Nothing. And it started with unforgiveness, and then you got turned over. That's why God is calling us back. Can the church say amen?
Amen.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. I want to deal with lessons learned, but I'll just say this. If you don't want to be turned over to the tormentor, choose to forgive. And if you don't want to be unforgiven, stop offending. I have an acronym for you as we close this segment. I want you to rest in forgiveness. You can't rest in unforgiveness. But shift to forgiveness and rest. The R in rest is for release. Release every offense and everyone who hurt you. You say, well, Bishop, they hurt me. Listen, I'm preaching to your future. Forgiveness is never about who hurt you. It's about you. Thank you, Lord. The lady that I hurt, she was angry with me, so she blocked her child from hearing me when I started preaching 20 years later. No, you can't listen to him. But the girl tied in. She's a woman now. She tied in. Ah, you don't want to hear that. You don't know this man. So unforgiveness can block relationships, future relationships that may be vital. Because the man who offended her now has become... I was a calf when she saw me. But now I'm a bull with horns. And you're still judging me for my calf work. I have the wisdom and the knowledge now not to do that again. And I'm teaching other people not to do it. I can help her. But you totally blocked me from it because of something that happened when I was 13. Release everybody. The person, this is what I'm telling you about God. He has a way of dealing with underdogs. The person that hurt you the worst can be the one that he uses to help you. There's a movie called Crash. We did a whole men's conference on it. And there's a police officer that really violated a woman. Months later, that woman gets in a car accident and she's locked in her seatbelt. She's turned upside down. Guess who comes to save her? The same cop. when she saw him. Oh, don't touch me. But I got to touch you now because the car's going to blow. And I'm sacrificing my life. I'm sorry for hurting you, but let me get you out of this car. And eventually she allowed him to get her out of the car. She's fighting with him while the car, the gas is dropping. It could blow at any time. He did violate. But now this violation is going to block you from salvation. Release everybody. If you want to rest, you got to release everybody. Every offense and everyone who hurt you. Ooh, Jesus, I'm preaching. Let me say it again. Release. Y'all got to say it with me. Release.
Release.
Say it like I said. Release.
Release.
Right. You got to let it go. Let it go. Let it go. With a rebel yell.
Yes.
With a rebel yell. With a rebel yell. Release.
Release.
Right. You got to get it out of you. It's cathartic.
Yes.
Get it out of you. I got to release them because it saves me from my crashes. Oh, my God. The E is for exit door. The E is for exit door. You got to label your door of entry or your door of exit. See, some of us are stuck, right? But you got to label. I don't know which door to go. Well, I got to exit the door of unforgiveness and enter into a new one. But I can't go into the new door if I'm still tied to the door that's called the exit door. I can't enter into nothing else if I don't know which door to go into if I'm still tied to it. So I need to put a label on the exit door and a label on the entry door. I need to step into new doors. This thing got me tied up too much. Oh, my God. This thing's got me tied up. It's been my testimony too long. What they did, what they did, what they did. When we gonna get to what Jesus did? What they did to me. See, God will take your issue, man, and when he works with you, he'll heal it. And he'll make your enemy your footstool. Not for you to put your foot on your enemy. He makes your enemy your footstool. They will start praising your development and your growth.
Thanks for joining us for the Word of Truth Revealed. If you were blessed by today's message, we would love to hear from you. You can email us at thewordoftruth@truthrevealed.org. For a replay of today's message, Demonic Network of Unforgiveness, visit the media section on the Truth Revealed app or our website at www.truthrevealed.org.
High school seniors, don't miss your chance to apply for the Tuskegee Airmen Scholarship. This program supports future leaders through STEM and STEAM education. Applications are available at the Communication and Promotion Counter and are due Monday, January 26th. For details, email elders@truthreveal.org. Registration is open for Six-Man, the 2026 Men's Advance Reloaded, scheduled for Friday and Saturday, January 9th and 10th. Check out the Truth Reveal mobile app, website, or scan the QR code to register for this action-packed event, which promises to be an unforgettable experience. Take advantage of the combo package and remember to order your conference t-shirt, polo, and jersey.
Again, thank you for joining us and have a blessed day.
Greetings. This is Lucian Gandolfo, senior pastor of the Beacon Baptist Church in Melbourne, Florida. We are hosting a 15-week series on effectual prayer. It will be on Wednesday evenings at 6:30 p.m. from November 5th through February 25th. The Bible tells us in James 5:16 that effectual, fervent prayers avail much. Prayer is the lifeblood of faith, yet it is what we believers often neglect and find most difficult to be effective in. Over these 15 Wednesdays, we'll examine from God's Word how you and I can indeed